Hey guys, welcome back to the House of Cards. We're moving very quickly into season 3, episode 3, which is also chapter 29 of the House of Cards. Roberto, what's going on? What
Nothing
do you think?
God, it's I wish my brain was like fully on House of Cards.
Me too.
Only because like it's funny because we were supposed to record. This is probably one of the as kind of weird inside baseball things. I love talking inside podcasting anytime I get. This is one of these weird episodes that we've been like delaying recording, not because not like just because of scheduling and things like that, but because of the fact I had a major computer crash. Literally, I think it was I had got done recording 8-Bit Life with Samus that week, and my computer.
And you can get that on Cosmic TV.
Cosmic Radio TV. It should be up as of this point. Okay. But then my computer then hardcore crashed to the point where there were logical disk errors. I then had to basically tell Jackie, I can't record Thursday morning. I think I can record Friday morning. And then Thursday happened, and then Scam School got shot, and then then everything just took way longer to back up. And I go, I can't even record Friday morning. Here's hoping I record Saturday. And I got everything working by then, but then Saturday.
Then it was bad for me because then I was wrapping up The Walking Dead and Lawyer.
Yeah, and so a lot of stuff just kept stacking upon stacking upon stacking. But we are done with that all. All of our computer issues are fixed. All of our schedules are cleared. It is now time to talk about Pussy Riot. That's the only time I'm ever going to be able to say that name on this show. Because that is the band's name. That is proper. That would be like that is like quoting somebody. That we can't censor it because that is their name. So I can legitimately say that and not hit any of our overlord censors. I kid, of course.
There are no overlords right here, but yeah, no. Overlords. But you're absolutely overlords. Right. Yeah, the Pussy Riot. They are a major band in the Russian Republic that have many of them have gone to jail. They have gone to prison have faced some really horrible criminal actions just because of the fact that they have kind of stood up to what is the current government regime in Russia. But we'll talk a little bit more about that as they relate to this show. Because we have a Russian president that is named Petrov, and I think he's really trying to mirror Putin.
He's Putin. He's Vladimir Putin. That's not even up for debate.
Absolutely. That this guy doesn't have to run for election. That he knows how the election's going to go.
Nope. There is no debate on this one. Normally we'd say, oh, there's been not even remotely up for debate. This is Vladimir Putin. It's so funny because going into this episode, like we talked about last week, being kind of a fillery episode. We had a lot to talk about, but a lot of it was more of just how certain things got set up and such. But that episode itself, we really didn't talk too much about the episode, but more of like what this entails from this previous episode and how it layered up. This one, to me, like it's funny because I remember last week you're like, oh, we won't have anything to talk about for that episode, and we did. This one for me, I'm like, this was a filler episode for me.
I see that. It actually was kind of a filler episode just to plug the Pussy Riot.
Which I'm okay with because ultimately it out of all the tie-ins that happened, and by the way, that is them that were there. We'll hopefully link to some article that because I had to confirm it because as the credits went rolled down, I saw the herself. I'm like, oh, crap, it's them. And so I did some searching and research. And even like the song they did during the credits, like that was actually their song that they recorded. Like they've recorded in English, and that was like apparently a very tricky for them to do because again they're Russian and their English isn't necessarily the best as it can be, so they had to like learn a lot of different English phrases.
I studied Russian for years in college, and all I know is "Меня зовут Джеки Херн". Yeah,
regardless of that fact, like just for them to do it, and two. Out of all the political issues that have happened in the past couple of years, we talk about a lot like last season that House of Cards, if Law and Order is pulled from the headlines, House of Cards is let's take the headlines and try to make it actually put it into our story.
Okay.
This was a big deal. Mm-hmm. In terms of that, just out of all the things of like, you know, we talk about like civil disobedience. This is like, you know, a numero uno top on the list of modern times. And so I was really glad to see House of Cards pull that in, because it was kind of cool to see, you know, here's the actual politics of things. Like, you know, we have the middle, you know, peace in the Middle East going on. We've got the Russian president coming into the mix, who's basically, for lack of better words, a Russian czar. I mean, he's playing by ex-KGB tactics. It is like, this is the Cold War never ended, and here's proof, and it's so cool to see it.
He's a prime example of Putin that is, he's former KGB, which comes from the NKVD, from the original Soviet Union, you know, CIA version of the
KGB. If you want to research, the KGB, it's the Cold War in general is a fascinating period of history, and it's still technically, you know, one could argue we're still in that period of history.
Yes, exactly.
It just switched from being on the actual battlefield and actual spies to being internet covert and all that fun jazz. But what I love about it was that it was so cool to see that kind of put in House of Cards, because we had not seen Frank Underwood. We had seen Frank Underwood do a lot of U.S. politics and a lot of, you know, typical kind of things and war stuff. I'm not saying that's typical, but we got to actually see Frank have to go into international politics and have to do that. And him trying to still be Frank Underwood in that, but like failing, because like I love my favorite moment is that, you know, I was about to say Putin, but Petrov, they're there for their first photo op. He comes to the White House and he goes, no, I'm sorry. I'm going to say no to the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know now. And it's just like, you came all the way from Russia to just say no? What kind of a-hole are you? And it was so like perfect.
Can I pause you very quickly? I'm very sorry. I have to go off here. Are you recording locally?
I am recording locally.
Okay, all right. Can you just hold one moment? Because this cat will not shut up.
Sure. Okay. It's not a big deal.
Fuck.
It's okay. Boo, do, 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 do,
Thank you. All right, back. Okay, we're back. Okay, so do you remember what you were saying? And I'm very sorry.
It's okay. I'll let you do this. All right, we had a slight little bit of issue, mainly because Jackie's cat had something to say. It was a very, very important thing.
He was so consumed with this whole, you know.
Because he heard pussy and he thought, oh, really? You're talking to me? And no wonder.
He's a male cat. What can you say?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, yeah, you know, that's all. Anyway, sorry. I don't think
I will include that, but that's fine.
But ultimately, getting back on topic, what I liked about it was that we got to see, like I said, Frank kind of in his, you know, being Frank in this, because again, you know, Petrov comes in and just like automatically tells him no. I mean, we see them, you know, he's trying to like butter him up with the Cuban cigars that he had smuggled in, and just like all the crap. And I'm just like, are you like Frank's trying to be Frank? But what was great was at the very end, just the big giant middle finger in terms of politics. I was like really happy that worked out, because it was cool how he got to, like, it's interesting. You know, we talk about like House of Cards and politics. I mean, obviously the world of House of Cards is kind of tries its best to mirror our own, maybe not all the time correctly, but so far pretty correctly. What I liked what happened is that he used the whole thing with the two ladies that have a punk band, that have been, you know, arrested for supporting gay rights in Russia many a times,
mm-hmm.
And aren't afraid to do some things that are a little out there, that he got to use that to his advantage and sort of make it his own. And I like that he went and said, you know what? These two girls stood up to Petrov. I'm going to do the same.
Wasn't that great? He totally turned that in. You know, and it was. Do you think that he would have done that if Petrov would not have grabbed Claire and French kissed her in front of everyone? I thought that was so extremely insulting. And, you know, Frank said, you know, I would push him down the stairs right now if it wouldn't start a new Cold War.
That would not have just started a Cold War, because they're already in a Cold War. Whether he, you know, Frank,
or maybe
you know,
it wasn't Cold War. It's
that would start
a real
nuclear
war.
That you know, to quote a terrible movie, that this Cold War would just got hot.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. And again,
okay, is that Red Dawn?
No, that was actually this. Okay, this is terrible, and I don't care if this is a diatribe.
No, I had a boyfriend who did SF science or. Visual effects for Red Dawn.
No, that
which
movie
is, which
that,
is horrible.
That line, this Cold War.
The new
just
one,
got,
not the old one. I'm not that old.
That movie that said the line, "This Cold War just got hot," was the Lost in Space movie. Terrible movie, but the line that they're playing, that the guy says when the pilot goes,
ouch.
"This Cold War just got hot." I don't know why I remember that, but it does. But anyways, point being is that I liked seeing Frank in this, and it was really cool to kind of see a little bit of it. But he, you know, the real cool thing was the fact that included Pussy Riot. I mean, it was really cool to see that. You know, we talk about things being plucked from the headlines. This is perfectly plucked, and it's like, hey, do you guys want to be on? And they said, you know, said yes. I'm like, that's really cool. Like on a media standpoint, and this
sure.
And having, you know, here is probably so far the vestige of complete and utter freedom of speech and freedom of expression. The
I was actually surprised to hear that they like because they were Madonna. Did some stage shows while a couple of the Pussy Riot members were incarcerated in Russia, and she was pleading for them to be released, and they were saying, fuck Madonna. She's a pop artist. We don't give a fuck about what she has to say.
They're punk. They're yeah. punk rock.
And yeah, right. And so for them to be on the show, like, it
– Well, because, I mean, out of all the things – you know, it's funny. We talk about you know, them being a show, but – they got to be themselves, and they got to work themselves in the story, and they got to be their attitude of it. Even their song at the end was about like anti-militarization and sort of against, you know, American, you know, military drones and stuff like that. So there is like they're able to do that. So they're able to still say their message and still say that kind of thing. And it, you know, I got to read up on it. They approached them. It wasn't like Pussy Riot approached, you know, the House of Guards.
Right.
It was a flip.
Right.
And it just worked. It worked out because the beauty part about House of Cards is that it really is a here's politics warts and all kind of show.
It absolutely
it
is.
It doesn't play any favorites. It doesn't show the American government is supreme and better than all of this. It plays zero favorites. It plays it plays love to nobody else. So ultimately, it's this sort of weird thing of just like here is how the sausage is made, and damn it if it didn't work out in a storyline sense. And again, I like the fact that they were actually in there. And then they got to do their own thing. They got to do their own, you know.
They got to break the glasses. I think it was wonderful. I loved it. I loved that through that whole consumerism scene where Petrov was giving them that $750,000 bottle of vodka shots and making them lick the pickles, lick your sleeve, and, you know, say, hoo-ha! Yeah. And then, you know, like it was so great that the Pussy Riot had that opportunity to say that, which is I was completely shocked by that.
Well, and that's the thing. I think that's why they were okay with it because it didn't put. I mean, that's the thing of House of Cards. It doesn't put anyone in any good light. I mean, it puts whatever light that they present themselves in. That's the light they're presenting. Sure, they're characters, but I mean, we know as the audience that this is supposed to be, you know, Vladimir Putin. This is supposed to be the president of the United States. And while Frank Underwood's his own character and has his own sort of things, Petrov is very much, you know, almost a carbon copy of Vladimir Putin.
Hey, so there's something else about that whole scenario. While they were sitting down to dinner, Petrov was sitting next to Claire. He said some horrible things to her. And there's a whole other Claire story to this. But before that, why don't we talk about our sponsors?
Yeah, we got to thank some people before we go. That, of course, we got to thank UK2.net. They cover all the bandwidth and hosting costs for all the shows here on the British Tech Network, including this show. You can, of course, ask them to get yourself some awesome web addresses, help build websites, and give you all the tools you need to manage your website and all the traffic that it can handle. Of course, if our good friend Charlotte Henry were here with us today, she'd be singing the praises of UK2.net, talking about how they helped her handle traffic during, you know, the last Tottenham game that she had to watch or something. I'm just kidding with it. But, you know, ultimately they've helped her out. And, of course, she would completely talk about the praises of
We miss you, Charlotte.
We do. We'll definitely get her on for sure. Regardless of that, of course, if you're looking for some hosting in the UK, head on over to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors for a list of offer codes available to you. And, of course, we'd like to thank them for sponsoring everything here at the British Tech Network.
So this next segment, or the next part that we were going to talk about, was the Claire part. She is coming head-to-head with Kathy Durant, who is the Secretary of State. And they're meeting with the Jordan and Israeli officials, ambassadors from Palestine as well. And they keep talking. They're directing all their comments to Claire. And they keep saying, would you please make sure that your husband knows what's going on. And she says, you know, you should be talking to Kathy. She's the Secretary of State. She has his ear more than I do.
Claire go ahead.
Go for it.
I was going to say, because I know I'm jumping the gun a bit, but Claire is in such a weird position right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I think she puts it best in her line that she's talking with when Frank calls her in Air Force, you know, to Air Force One or whatever.
Yeah, you know, let's bring her in. Let's get her in the call.
Because she has to.
Yes.
She knows that she is not going to be effective in any way, shape, or form without her.
Right.
You know, there is no way she can run office without her. Like office as ambassador, because, like, it's very apparent. Like, even, like, near the end, they bring up the whole, is there a workaround we can do without these guys? And, you know, buddy-budding up. It's very apparent that Claire knows that. That Claire's like, I can't do this without her. Because she actually knows what she's doing. I need this kind of person on my side.
Claire has a lot of work to do in this episode. Not even just with Kathy Durant and setting that up and making Kathy Durant feel comfortable. But even with Petrov. You know, with Petrov kissing her.
Mm-hmm.
In front of everyone and just accepting it and taking that. And the way they sit down together and he says, you know, you're a better first lady than you are a UN ambassador. And he says, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
No, she's not.
And then he introduces the waiter saying, please pour some more wine for the ambassador. But he's really trying to mess with her head because – you know, that's what he's doing. He's really trying to kill her ambitions and her thoughts. As it's in a way, God, I don't want to use the word rape her in front of Frank.
He definitely wants to put her down, and it's very apparent that.
And the way that he kisses her in front of everyone, the way he just uses her in front of everyone, is very aggressive and very hardcore, and it's painful to watch.
Yeah, I mean, there is, again, she's going through some weird dynamic, because on one hand, she is the first lady. You know, mm-hmm. She does have her husband's ear, and she always will have her husband's ear. And it's very apparent that, you know, that's the case, because you'll see Frank and Frank will be like, you know, I just want to talk with you. Just make it quick, because she just wants to talk with his wife, not ambassador. At the same time, she desperately wants to be her own person. She desperately wants to have her own accomplishments. She wants her own legacy to be, not just I was the first lady. I mean, it's been very apparent over time. You know, she, yes, she was given the whole waterworks, the whole, you know, water thing, but sure. She wanted to build it herself. She wanted to pull forth this, you know, bill on sexual reform or sexual, you know, misconduct and whatever that is back in the army.
Mm-hmm.
She's been trying to leave, much like Frank, a legacy. And since Frank is already at least has some sort of a legacy of like, well, he'll always be in the history books as this president. He may not necessarily be the talked about president, but he'll at least have his somewhere in some Wikipedia article, it'll have Frank Underwood as mm-hmm. the whatever number president he is in the series. But Claire like will always be known as, oh, and that was the first lady. Anyways, yeah. You know, and she wants to desperately not be known as First Lady Underwood. She wants to be known as Ambassador Claire Underwood.
Yes.
To the UN. You know?
I see so many parallels between the Clinton relationship with, the Secretary of State and how she's been treated and, you know, Hillary Clinton. It's kind of interesting. I'm really liking the way the show's going.
I am too. I'm definitely enjoying that they're doing that more, that they're trying to build, that they're adding this kind of dynamic to Claire. Because again, Claire has always been that character I've never quite figured out.
Yeah.
I still have questions on her as a character as to how she tends to approach things. Mm-hmm. But I like that they're actually adding this layer of depth of to her, specifically the idea that she is Frank. Like, she has a lot of the ambitions that Frank does. That's why they both hooked up together.
Yeah.
But it's so apparent that she just desperately doesn't want to be left behind. And she knows that as Frank keeps getting bigger and bigger as the sort of presidential powerhouse, as he starts building these legacies and stuff like that, that she needs that desperately. She does not want to be known as second fiddle to Frank.
And this is the episode where it called into my attention as to who's more in charge here? Who knows better how to, channel these people? Because Claire calls in Kathy Durant and says, hey, let's have some whiskey, or what is it that you drank in college?
Yeah.
And let's do some beer pong. And they do some beer pong, and she buys some time. She wins Kathy Durant over, the Secretary of State, to be able to talk about how she does not trust Petrov at all.
Right.
Like, we need to go another route. And they do go the other route because of that.
Oh, yeah, because the thing is that even Frank, like, Frank doesn't trust him either.
Right.
But the thing is, Frank has to, you know, Frank has to at that point because there's no other solution. What I like about the way that they approach, the whole Petrov thing, specifically that Claire goes to Durant, is there mm-hmm. any other way that we can do this?
Yeah.
And because Durant knows, like, yes, there has been precedent here. This is how we would do it. It's a bit difficult, and it's a lot of work on your shoulders, but this is how we would do it. And it's very cool that she gives that little nugget there, because, again, you know, at the beginning of the episode,
she
would not have done it. She would not have given that information mm-hmm. away. But, again, Claire knows that she cannot do this alone.
Play
not
some because, beer pong. You got her in.
Well, because it's that she know. She even says, you know, in private that I can't do this without Kathy. I can't do it without Durant. I can't. Not because mm-hmm. she's mm-hmm. not capable, but just because the way things are structured, the way things are done, and the way things not only politically are done, but actually a chain of command and power, she literally can't do it without Durant. And she knows it very well that she needs to have mm-hmm. this person on her side completely so that she can actually do her job mm-hmm. And such.
Very good point.
We should definitely move on, but before we do, we got to thank one last sponsor, and that, of course, is the Network Union, their authorized BT business partner licensed to sell their global and UK services. Their experience has been earned from working with larger global and UK enterprise, but now they also work with SMEs. They essentially handle some of the bigger pipeline connection things like MPLS, VPLS, Ethernet to Internet lease lines, and any kind of wide area network connectivity, those sort of things. So essentially, let's say you're out in the UK, maybe you're looking for a little bit beefier pipe for your IT company, or maybe you're running a data center, you really need some massive connections, head on over to networkunion.co/BridgeTech for more information and show your appreciation for their support of the British Tech Network.
Amazing. Roberto, speaking I am so so happy that Gavin is back. What were you going to say, speaking of network?
Speaking of internet stuff.
Yeah. Yes,
we have Gavin back and Stanford back. Before we talk about Gavin and such, what did you think about the whole job offer to Stanford?
I actually do believe that was real.
Oh, yeah, real. Of course it was real. Of course it was real. Are you kidding me? With Stanford's expertise, his pedigree, everything involved, yes, of course it was real. Not even going to remotely say that it wasn't anything else. I love what I love about Stanford right now is that he is in, like, ultra paranoid mode.
Oh, he is.
He is now jonesing. He is there because, like, we now have, you know, not only do we have that mixed in where it's like you offer me a like they offered him a job with a ton of money, more money than $220,000
when he normally got $175,000.
Like that's some money. Like that is some. I mean, $175,000 is money.
And this is just a congressman. He's not even a senator. That asked him to join. He's a congressman from Hawaii that asked him on.
Because the thing is that he asked him on because. It was legitimate, you know. It's so funny.
Sure.
Oh yeah, no, it has to be because you think about like, oh, you mean the guy that helped Frank Underwood become president?
Yeah.
Is on the market
without ever being elected.
Yeah, without even being elected. How much do we have? Like, because again, he's like, I'm not only offer you from my own, I'm gonna give him my campaign fund. I'm like, oh, right. that. You know, that means, like, look, if I have to sweeten the deal, I will sweeten the deal because if you're on the market, I am buying right now.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so, I mean, like I said, when it comes to that, it's so funny to see him in this, like, just hyper paranoid mode. Like hyper. And I feel for him because he's basically wrapped his whole world around Frank.
Yeah.
And I feel bad that maybe he should leave that be.
Yeah.
Like with Rachel and everything else. And I think
we're starting
to reveal that Stamper has an addictive personality to a lot of things.
Oh.
And it's not just alcohol and it's not just Rachel.
All right. Well, beside that, what do you think about Gavin? Because Gavin is stuck. He is an indentured servant in many ways.
Well, that's where this whole thing comes into play that I really enjoy a lot.
Okay.
Because what I like about Gavin is that he was put in a position where he had to sort of sail out.
Yeah.
And I love that it's coming now to the point of like, yep, we found your names. Like, yeah, of course you found my names. Well, we can't charge you on that, but we want names, you know, and other hackers that you could give us. Because again, Gavin is doing his best to follow the rules. May not follow the rules as best as he, you know, not because he wants to, but because he just doesn't want to go to prison. He doesn't want to go to Guantanamo. He does not want to get, you know,
mm-hmm.
He does not want to go there. That'd be a bad place for him. But what I like about it is that he is his indentured servant. He's there. You know, you see him at the opening scene. He comes back in. He is in a suit. He's in a tie. He's got his computer in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a stand. He's got to stand when the people who are above him walk by.
Oh, man.
He's got to show respect. This man who is like, it's so great to see him in that because you know it's a matter of time before he cracks.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we see in the trailer, but you know that it's a matter of time before he cracks.
Yeah.
And it's so, it's great to see all of that happening. And I'm definitely excited for having Gavin back because I like the fact that now it's been revealed that if he wants to sort of get his way out, he's got to find Rachel for Stamper.
And they ask him more information on different hackers. They pull him in a room, and he refuses to do it.
Of course. Why? Well, you're not going to sell your friends if you're a true hacker. But again, it's gonna, like, what's going to happen, and what I'm looking forward to, because I have a feeling that
there's a nice relationship going on between him and Stamper, because yeah. Stamper's, he's talking to him, and Stamper says, "Hey, maybe I can move you to a different office." And I think that we all know that that's not the escape for Gavin. Gavin no. is stuck.
Gavin, because again, he says, Stamper brings up a point. He goes, "Why have you just left the country?" He goes, I would have if I didn't have a travel lock on my mm-hmm. passport." And Evan's like, "Well, let's see if we can get rid of that." The thing is that I have a feeling that Stamper is talking a lot bigger game than he actually has power to do. I have a feeling that.
Absolutely.
And Gavin is playing a game of trusting Stamper in this state.
Yeah.
If Stamper were in a different state of mind, if he were, for example, still with the, you know, not obsessed with things like Rachel and drinking and whatnot.
Right.
I think he would have a shot of doing it. Right now, Gavin is playing with an addict, and that's not the kind of person you want to be like trusting to, like, you know, cover debts, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to see where it goes after this. Aren't you?
It's definitely crazy. It's definitely one of the ones I am for sure looking forward to out of all that. Because again, I'm so glad to see Gavin back. One, two, I'm so glad to see Gavin in this, like, just soul-crushing kind of position for him, mm-hmm. and him having to pull, like, now we get to finally see, and this is what I like about it right now, and I'll leave us a final thought because we're almost out of time.
Okay.
What I like about this is that we get to see Gavin finally be Hacker Gavin.
Yeah.
Like, not just play Hacker Gavin.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, teaching some other guy Hacker Gavin, but, like, straight up honest to God Hacker Gavin. And, you know, we see him, for example, hacking one of his coworkers' computers, remoting into it, using that to do the traffic so that way it's not tracked to his internal IP.
Yes.
All this sort of stuff like that. I'm like, this is Hacker Gavin. I'm so excited to see that Gavin. Because he goes, "Let me get some more information really quick." And he goes, "Cool." And he's like, instantly finds her without even, you know, trying anything. And so that's the thing I'm more excited to see Hacker Gavin for sure. What about you? What are you excited
about? No, I'm very excited about Hacker Gavin. I'm excited about Stamper. I'm somewhat excited about Claire a little bit, that she's trying to move on, and she's been held back. But yeah, we really don't know. We have no idea how this whole thing's going to play out. But I think that's awesome. You know, and my last point is the whole conversation with Frank and Petrov when they're in that stairwell where Petrov puts a cigar out on the wall in disgrace of the whole entire White House. You know, just kind of, "I'm going to put my cigar out here." You know, I'm kind of interested in seeing how that's going to play out, that Petrov is so disrespectful of, Frank Underwood, and how that's going to go. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited, for sure, as to how things are going. All right, we're out of time, Jackie. We've hit the end. Jackie, where can people find you online?
I'm JackieHearn81 on Twitter. What about you?
Oh, I'm easy to find. I'm at Vincent404 there on the Twitters. That, of course, you do other things too beyond just being the host here at House of Cards. You do other podcasts that you're. It's funny, we're recording this right now at a time, and I know Jackie keeps looking at the clock, not because he's considering the time.
Can you tell that I keep looking over?
What is the other podcast you do? And I want you to tease it because, like, it's you were telling me in the beginning of the show, and I realized you're just like, "All right, the show has started 15 minutes ago. If we get this done now.
Hey, man, it's totally fine. I missed the first run. It's totally fine. But yeah, my heart and soul is Better Call Saul. You know, and actually, my heart and soul is in with Bob and David, which will be on Netflix in a couple of weeks. It's the Mr. Show spinoff. But yeah, no, Better Call Saul, you can follow me on lawyeroutpodcast.com. Roberto, where can people find you?
Oh, beyond Vincent Forza 4, all my other content's at cosmicradio.tv.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Can't wait to talk to you guys next week.
All right.
All right. Bye.